In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As the beginning is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Volume 32, 9, 10, 1933. On page 10. Therefore, while I was immersed in its divine sea, my dear Jesus added, Blessed daughter, your little tiny river of my volition enclosed in you, Louisa, feels the need of plunging itself into the great and immense sea of my most holy divine will. So here is, this is in our prayer. This is what God is asking. He's asking us to be fused with Him, we belonging totally to Him, He belonging totally to us, and then we enter into this immense ocean of the divine love of God, this divine will, this fiat of God. And He says very clearly, your little tiny river, your nothingness, of my volition enclosed in you, feels the need. So God is doing this, feels the need of plunging itself into the great and immense ocean of my most holy divine will. So here we have this, what God is doing is something that's, He wants us to be that drop of nothing, a drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice every day. And the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So this, we are nothing. We're just a drop of water compared to this infinite ocean of the divine will. And it's very clear, God wants you to plunge yourself into this immense ocean of divine love, this immense ocean of the fiat of God. So this is God's will. He breathed, when He created Adam, He breathed into the dust His image and likeness, and what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. You know, sometimes we limit that to, here's a man, Adam. And no, it's the image and likeness of God. And since Adam fell, this is what is happening now, 6,000 years later, Jesus says. He wants us to re-enter into this divine life, to re-enter into the image and likeness of God. So this goes beyond being good and holy and saintly. It's sharing in divinity. It's entering into God. It's fusing ourselves one with God. This fusing is so essential for us, as we read, see, every time we read, every word that we read, the Word of God is speaking to us, and that Word of God is transmuting us inside and out into a completely different image, from fallen nature to sharing in divinity. And so the more that we read, the more that we focus on this book of heaven, this is what Jesus tells Louisa, the sooner everyone will be able to possess this gift. So God is really waiting for us to do this, because it's not the saints ahead of us. They're all dead, basically. It's not the children behind us, because they have been reprogrammed by television, movies, internet, iPhones. Their whole... they were not created, they did not obtain the perfection that we have. Now, that might sound strange, but when we were children, our parents would put us outside. There was no chemtrails, there was no, they had AM, you didn't have FM, you had... a television with maybe three programs on it, three networks. We would sit outside and we'd see the fluttering of the leaves. We might hear a bird, you know, chirp somewhere, or a dog bark somewhere, but everything stayed the same. So the children today, like for example, every commercial, it's per second. The child is being reprogrammed. His brain is being reprogrammed, not naturally, not completely as ours were. And so therefore, it's almost as if God can't use them because they're not thinking clearly. Their whole understanding is different than what we were taught. And so what God is asking of us, he's asking us to really begin to understand that we are the ones he wants to use. It's you look at the children, especially when you go through airports, everybody's got their head down looking into their hand. And that's not how we're supposed to live. The children don't know how to communicate eye to eye. They will send a text message rather than talking to someone. So their whole understanding is much different than ours. If we are trapped by, you know, internet, telephone, iPhone, iPad, then God, I don't think God can really use us until we break free of that. Break free of television, radio, newspaper, magazines, movies. That can't be part of our life. That can't be part of the occult, if you want to say, teaching us how to respond. What we have to do is to read and study and put this into practice. We are nothing. We enter into this infinite ocean of the divine will. Our responsibility is to read. Our responsibility is to study this. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. And Jesus says he's waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will. The youth today have no respect because they have been taught by Disney. They have been taught by Sesame Street. They have been taught to live a life without Jesus, to be happy without Jesus. And so, you know, we're not even talking about, you know, grammar school and middle school and high school and college. It's has nothing to do. As a matter of fact, Father Michael showed me today the U of R has a chaplain who's a pagan, and she is she wants to bring people into paganism. And they're using the chapel where the mass is said. So here you have a Satanist priestess who is a witch who wants to teach people how to enter into the occult. This is the largest growing religion in the United States. More witches and warlocks than ever before. Like, for example, the Halloween costume that was most used the past 3 or 4 years has been the Living Dead. Those are demons. The demons are the ones that want to take over the human will. You know, they want us to be pulled into hell. And again, this is We're the ones that God has to use. He can't use anybody else. So the more that we can discipline ourselves to get away from television, radio, newspaper, magazines, movies, all that stuff, the happier we will be, because we'll be able to take this little nothing that we are and allow God to bring us into the great and immense ocean of God's most holy divine will. There's, you know, you look at the kids today, at least we were taught the Baltimore Catechism. We were taught the truths of the church, what the church was really about. And since 1967, in our diocese, when Bishop Sheen when Bishop Sheen left, I should say, is when they threw out the Baltimore Catechism. And there's been no teaching at all. And the parishes are shrinking quicker and quicker and quicker. They're smaller and smaller and smaller. This is the consequence of not being able to focus on Catholic dogma and doctrine. And so what God has done is he's saved the best for last. And he knew that this would be like this. And so what he's given us is the book of heaven. And the more that we read, the more that we listen to Jesus speaking to us, the more that we hear him when he talks to Louisa, the more that we get in communion with him, in conversation with him, saying when Jesus questions Louisa, we answer also with Louisa. Listen to what Louisa says and repeat it. And don't try to say, well, I'm gonna tell you right now, because you're usually wrong. Listen to Louisa. Let Louisa teach you how she responded, and then echo what she said. Why? Because as Jesus says, the divine will feels the need to pull you into this great, immense ocean of divine love. In fact, for the one, Louisa, who lives in my will, Louisa holds in her littleness the little ocean, the sea of my volition inside of her, and its immense sea outside of her. This is the transmutation. Inside and outside, we're changed completely. This is what God wants. He doesn't want us to just be good and holy and saintly, following the saints. Again, the saints are wonderful. But to listen to Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. This is essential that we do this. She is the one who possesses this gift. She is the one, this gift is hers. And if we try to embrace this gift separate from Louisa or not listening to her, we'll never be able to possess this. So again, for Louisa, the one who lives by will, she holds in her littleness this ocean of God's will inside of her and the immense ocean of the divine will outside of her. She is the one that the center of the divine will has been found in. She is the one who basically takes the place of Adam, fallen Adam. And she is the one, Jesus says, he is the one who has taught Louisa the book of heaven. He said he would have taught Adam, but Adam failed and he couldn't hear. He couldn't hear God's voice anymore. Louisa, because of her littleness, her nothingness, could hear God's voice. And therefore, she wrote everything down for our benefit. So the same thing with us. God wants to change us inside and outside into a completely different element, one with him. So it says, Jesus says, and this little one, Louisa Picaretta, feels the need of plunging herself into the great one, into God, in order to always increase her little ocean, this little sea that she has. And this she does every time she wants to do acts in my most holy divine will. So the thing that we're learning is how to do acts and rounds from Louisa. She's the one that possesses it, the way Jesus taught her, the way Mary taught her. So every thought, every word, every deed, you enter into this divine life. And what the Lord is waiting for, he's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. He says, we are the ones who must live in the divine will. It's nobody ahead of us, except for Louisa, and nobody behind us, because it's almost as if they short-circuited the way children have developed. I mean, can you imagine putting a child in front of Sesame Street for, 10 years? What did that do to that child? He can't think correctly. It wasn't Catholic dogma or doctrine that he received, but he received how to be happy without Jesus Christ, which is impossible to do. So again, the Lord needs us, and therefore we also should feel the need of plunging ourselves into this infinite ocean, back into God, back to our origin. As you read, as you study, every word that Jesus speaks to you, this divine life in every word that's infinite, we enter into this life and become more and more like God in his image and likeness. This is what God is asking. Adam lost this. He possessed it, but he lost it. He says, I give it to you, Louisa, because you will never lose this. What's the difference between Adam, who received this preternatural life, and Louisa? Adam did not have Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. We have the new Adam and the new Eve. Louisa possesses that. Therefore, this life that she possesses, she can't lose. We can't lose. We're not there yet. And a lot of people say that all you have to do is want the divine will and you possess it, which is false. Father Bucci said, those that believe they're living in the divine will are only fooling themselves. To live in the divine will is to be like God. No human possesses that at this point. God wants us to have this. And this is what we're longing for. But we have to really study this book. This book of heaven is so important to us. All the secrets, all the treasures, all the knowledges are there. And if we study this, God can give this to us. If we put this into practice, then there is that true possibility of us receiving it as well. So again, do we feel the need of diving into the infinite ocean every time you do an act of the divine will? This is why you're doing your acts. This is why you're doing your rounds. You want this. You want to dive into this infinite ocean. You want to possess what Jesus gave to Louisa. So this is why the more that we read and enter into each word that Jesus speaks to us, this infinite life is there. And every word that we enter into, God can begin to really transmute us. Louisa comes to make her, she comes to make her swim in the great one, to swim in this infinite ocean of God's love, this infinite ocean of God. And while she swims, she takes the nourishments, the divine refreshments of God's freshness in such a way that Louisa feels all renewed by this new divine life. This isn't human. This is divine. This is sharing in divinity. And in reality, it's the perfect human that God is calling us to. Without this perfect human life, then what can happen is it can't reign in us. We have to have the perfect life of Jesus, the perfect life of Mary. So what does he say? You come to swim in God. And while you swim in God, you will take the divine nourishments, the divine refreshments of God, the freshness of God, in such a way that you will feel all divinely renewed by this new and divine way of life. This is what John Paul II said, a new and divine way of holiness. So it's not to be good and holy and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. You have to get into volume 11 through volume 20, volume 19, in order to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you have to get into volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what God is asking. And if you're focused on the things of this earth, the world, the flesh, and the devil, you're not focusing in the freshness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're not renewed by this new and divine way of holiness, this new and divine life that God wants us to live. So what God is asking of us, and he's not asking anybody else, he's asking us, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, to accomplish this. There are many good people, there are many holy people, there are many saintly people who do not want the divine will. And they will always be stuck in their human misery. Jesus is saying, I want you to leave that behind. I want you to enter into a divine life. a new and divine way of holiness. I want you to be refreshed and divinely, renewed divinely, this divine nourishment. Now think about this. This is the first bread, this divine nourishment. That's what Adam ate. That's what Adam possessed. It's a perennial communion with God. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. When we go to Holy Communion, the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, we are in communion with God for at least 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And then the real presence of Jesus in a mystical way is gone. And what God is asking of us is he's saying, enter into the first bread. He says, when the divine will reigns, watch the power that will come out from the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. It's not happening, you know, as God wants it at this point. Why? Because no one is living in the divine will the way God has planned from the beginning. So, you know, you think about it. I've heard people who say they're living in the divine will that they don't have to go to Holy Mass anymore because they're living in the divine will. They got the first bread. They don't need the second bread. That's not what Jesus says to Louisa. He says, wait to see what's going to happen for the souls living in the divine will when they receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Can you imagine what's going to happen? Sharing in the divinity of Christ, looking more and more in God, like in God's image and likeness. This is what God's got planned. So he's asking us to begin to swim in God, in this infinite life of God, with divine nourishments, divine refreshments, the divine freshness of God himself, renewed in a new and holy divine life that our God is asking us. This is not to be good and holy and saintly, but to be divine. Do you see why a lot of the holy people don't want this? Because they're afraid of it. They're afraid of it as the Jews were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid of the what Jesus wanted to give them, this resurrected life, this kingdom of the redemption. And now Jesus wants to give us the kingdom of sanctification, the kingdom of the divine will. And he's going to do it. He says it's a divine decree. It's going to happen. And he's asking us to begin to live this. So it's little by little. The more that we read, the more that we study, the more that we put this into practice, the more we get rid of the worry, fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin, the more that we eliminate from our life the teachings of Hollywood, the teachings of Disney, the teachings of the music industry, that it's all demonic. To focus on the things of Christ, the things of the church, what will happen is God was going to win, but everything else is going to be gone. It's going to be destroyed. Anything that is trying to have happiness without God is not of God. You only, like St. Francis said, if you're not joyful when you're praying, it's because you're not praying. You should be filled with joy. Filled with confidence, filled with hope, filled with the Christian hope of certitude, filled with such a trust in God that you know, as he says, ask, believe that you received it and it is yours. You know he's going to answer your prayer, whether you see it in this life or not. So again, what God is saying to us is he really wants us to enter into this divine life. He really is asking us to possess this. I mean, think about it. To swim in divine nourishments, divine refreshments, the divine freshness of God, to be divinely renewed in this new divine way of life. And since my will has the communicative virtue, it does not let the creature go out of this infinite great sea until the soul has been filled even to the brim with new divine acts of the divine will. So again, what Jesus is saying is, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't gotten to that point of entering into God's will. He communicates with us. What did he say to Adam? He's in volume 36. What did he say to Louisa in volume 36? He said he created Adam, the senses of Adam to see God, to hear God, to smell God, to touch God, to taste God. That's what God did. And our human senses, because we're Catholic, we see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We hear Jesus speak to us when the preaching of the gospel. We smell the divine odor, divine sanctity through the incense that is burnt. We taste God when we receive Holy Communion, and we touch God. He says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name," when you hold hands with someone in the name of Jesus, God is there. So our senses as Catholics, we're beginning to sense God the way he is asking us to, but it's not yet fully. I mean, we're going to see God and live. And I know the scripture says no man can see God and live, but we're going to see God and live. We're going to listen to God. I mean, what does Louisa think? She's always saying, "I want to see you. I want to see you. Where are you? Where are you? I'm going to listen to you. I want you to speak to me. I want you to hold me." You know, that's Louisa. Listen to Louisa. And we have to have that same desire of Louisa's with our senses. This is what God's waiting for. So he says, basically, he says very, very clearly, "And since my will has the communicative virtue, my divine will does not let the soul go out of this infinite ocean until she has been filled even to the brim with new divine acts of God's most holy divine will." So every day, and this is the beauty of reading, every day God is going to talk to you in a more profound way. Every day that you read, and this is why the calendar is so important, every day that you read, God is speaking to you more clearly than the day before. He wants to speak to you, your heart, your mind, your soul. He wants to communicate this divine life to you. He wants to breathe this into you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Again, it's to be one with God. This is what God's waiting for. So when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you look at Jesus in the monstrance. You look at Jesus. You look at him. And you fall in love with God. This is what God's waiting for. And if you can't find it in church, you can find it on the internet. Your home can become a shrine to Jesus, you know, and for as long as you want, or as for as little as you want, 30, 60, or 100-fold, whatever you want, God will give you. And that's what he's waiting for. So he says, "See, therefore, it is awaiting your acts." So God is awaiting the acts done in the divine will. Okay. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. And you can't live this abundant life if you're not reading. You can't know the truths if you're not reading it. You can't know the knowledges of the divine will without reading it. You can't know the secrets of God, of the Holy Spirit given to Louisa if you're not reading this. It's all there. And again, this has to become the book that we want more than any other book. It has to be where our time is spent more than any other place. So God's waiting for us to prove to him that this is what we want. And that's why he says, "I'm waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will." The more that we want this gift, the more we will participate in this gift. Okay? The gift is found in the book of heaven. The secrets are found in the book of heaven. You listen, and again, as you read, Jesus is speaking to Louisa and to those little souls linked to Louisa. And you can respond to God the way Louisa responds. Don't say, well, I'm going to say this, and then you read, and Louisa says something else, and you go, well, I don't care, I want this. No, you have to learn from the one who possesses it. We are going to learn this gift the way Louisa responds. We have to be taught the way Louisa is teaching us. And the more that we follow exactly what Louisa does, the more we are sure that we will receive this gift. So therefore, it is awaiting our acts in order to give us its swim and communicate its new prerogatives that you did not possess. So think about this. What you read today in the divine will, you didn't possess yesterday. What you read in the divine will tomorrow, you didn't possess today. It's only by reading will you receive this. And if you're not reading it, and this is why Jesus says, you know, remember when he said to the, said that the priests in Messina, how much they are going to be judged. God said, I wanted these books out then. That was before 1930. I want these books out now, Jesus said, and they refused to do it. And he says, because they look at the consequences that happened. Because they refused to do it, World War II happened. I mean, you have to understand, what was it? 60 million people were died in the war, and then 60 million died in Ukraine, and then 60 million died in China. I mean, God wants this gift to be given. And now you look at with the abort effects. How many children are dying now? Where even governors are saying you can kill the child after it's born. It's death. This is why John Paul II said we've got to get out of this culture of death and get back into the culture of life. The divine will is the culture of life. The divine will is to begin to live the life of God, to live this divine life that God originally breathed into Adam, this divine life that God breathed into Louisa. This is what God now wants to breathe in us. So it's very, very clearly true that God is awaiting our acts. So you do your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. Whatever you're doing, you say, I want to do this in the divine will. Whatever you're doing, washing the dishes, you know, driving a car, whatever you're doing, I want to do this act in the divine will. I want to be one with Jesus and Mary through Louisa. I want this new life, this abundant life that Jesus lives, that Mary lives, the new Adam and the new Eve. I want to have this life that has been given to Louisa. Again, you have to discipline yourself to do this. And you, again, 30, 60, or 100 fold, whatever you want, God will give you. But you have to prove it to Him. Okay? God is awaiting your acts in order to give you this swim, this communication, this communicative life with new prerogatives that you did not possess before. So, it's infinite. I mean, this is heaven. When you get to heaven, every moment of heaven will be more beautiful than the last moment. Jesus says He wants the resurrection before you die, to live that resurrected life now. So what is God waiting for? He says it very clearly. I'm waiting for your acts. I'm waiting for your rounds. Again, the only person that can show you how to do this is Louisa, through the words of Jesus, the words of Mary. And either you do it or you don't. You know, I mean, I still can't believe that one lady, she's been studying for 20 years and she's only read up to volume 10. I still can't believe that. What were you doing? what were you focused on? You said you loved the divine will. See, but that's where God says, I'll give you 30, 60, or 100 fold. It's like she got 10%, you know, reading 1 through 10. I mean, I just can't believe it. God is awaiting our acts in order to give us this the new prerogatives that we don't possess, but we will possess as soon as we do our acts. And if you knew what it means to take a new swim in this divine ocean of my divine will. So here Jesus is saying that he wants us to dive into this infinite ocean. Now you have to remember, the way he says this to Louisa is, I want you to dive in and never come out. Basically, I want you to drown in the divine will. I would never want you to leave. Now, what does that mean? It's like to dive into the ocean and wanting to come up for breath is saying, I want to still live my human life. And Jesus says, no, I want you to drown in this infinite ocean. I don't want you to continue to live the way you have been living with your human will. I don't want that anymore. So we have to say to Jesus, especially during this Lenten season, we have to say to Jesus, I want to die with you on the cross. I don't want to continue to live this miserable human will. But again, what is the human will? The human will is what you say when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. And I don't want to live this life. I don't want this anymore. And Jesus says, good. Drown in the infinite ocean of the divine will. And that means I don't want to breathe the misery anymore. I want to breathe the infinite ocean of the divine will, the infinite ocean, the love of God. And it's really like God says, those who save their life will lose it. Those that lose their life will save it. For Jesus, those that lose their life for Jesus. Why are we diving into this infinite ocean of the divine will? Why do we want to lose our human misery? It's because Jesus is offering us a new and divine way of holiness. He's offering us a new divine life with things that you don't possess yet. So again, we have to begin to understand that this is what we want. So television, newspaper, magazines, radios, movies, all that has to be gone from us. That's the old life. I mean, just think about the children, you know, who are watching commercials. Every second is a new image, 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 image. And it's not of God. And it's destroying the natural way of learning. It's destroying the natural way of the way God wants us to live. Focused on Him, you know, being outside, you know, meditating on in creation. The I love you of creation is all around us, you know, especially during spring. Look at all the I love yous that are out there. Begin to enter into take every one of these I love yous and breathe them in, and then with your eyes, with your ears, breathe them in and then breathe them back to God. And I love you. He says to us, I love you. You breathe it in and you say to him, I love you divinely, and you breathe that back to God. That's the way Adam lived. We have to begin to let go of all the things of earth and to begin to enter into this infinite ocean of the love of God. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for your acts, that you will swim and communicate to us new and divine prerogatives that we do not express. And he says, if you only knew what it means to swim in this infinite ocean of my divine will. Every time one feels reborn to a new divine life, the soul will then acquire a new recognition of God who created her. Do you see what's happening? It's not of this earth, but everything in this earth, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, you see the love of God in all creation. You see the I love yous all around you. And begin to recognize these I love yous. Every time you will feel reborn to a new divine life, and you will acquire a new recognition of God who created us. You will feel a re-love. You'll be re-loved even more by our Celestial Father. And rise to a new divine love for God whom you love. It's to enter into this life. It's nothing less than heaven. Okay, and as we do this, what happens? We're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. There's no more negativities. There's no more sorrows. There's no more sadnesses. There's no more sin. There's no more death. We enter into this abundant life. Do you see why Jesus says, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will? As you and I begin to live this, the kingdom is being established, first of all, in us, on earth as it is in heaven. But it's coming to earth. We're bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. How? God's doing it. He's come divine will. We're echoing the prayer of Jesus. This kingdom is being established. It's no longer for us, for what we want, but only what God wants. And that's what he says here. I mean, look what he says. It's just astonishing. Every time you feel reborn to a new divine life, you acquire a new recognition of God. And this is every word that you read. A God who has created us. We feel re-loved even more of our celestial Father. And we rise to a new divine love for God whom we love. It's to enter into heaven while on earth. Heaven is just entering into the love of God. We then begin to recognize all the I love yous around us. Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water is an I love you. We begin to recognize it. We begin to see it and hear it, smell it and taste it and touch it all around us. It's all of God. It's the love of God. This is the new divine life that God wants us to begin to live. And so everybody before us is gone. So it's not them. Everybody behind us, they haven't been taught anything. Their minds are really messed up by what Hollywood and Disney and Sesame Street did. I mean, it has nothing to do with God. We're very far from God. So the sooner we can get rid of the idiot box, the hypnotic eye of death, as soon as you can get rid of that, the happier you're going to be. In sum, Jesus says, Louisa is the daughter of who knows her father. Now listen to this. She's the daughter who knows the father. This is what we want as well. So as we learn from Louisa, we're going to know the father and wants to know him more. And she does not want to do anything without his most holy divine will. And it's the same thing for us. Everything is fiat. Okay, everything becomes fiat. When we let God be in charge, everything is peaceful, everything is joyful, everything is happy. It's to constantly say fiat. How do you live in the divine will? It's fiat. Constant fiat. Our human wills are so stubborn, we're so self-centered and selfish, that most of the time throughout the day, we don't say fiat. We get upset, we worry, we're fearful, we're anxious, we're complaining, we're negative, we're sinning. And God says you got to stop that. So he says very clearly, Louisa knows who her father is. And Louisa wants to know God more. Louisa wants to do nothing without his holy divine will. And that's how we have to be too. We have to know God, love God, and possess God. That's what the divine will is. That's what God is waiting for. He says he's waiting for us to live in the divine will. The souls who must. And when you go to Holy Communion, pray for all the little children in the holy divine will throughout the world. This is the family of Louisa, the little family of Louisa, the little family of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And pray for everybody. Pray every day that we get closer to living in the divine will. Pray every day that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. It is the divine father who calls his daughter in order to keep her together with him. So God is doing this with us, as he did with Louisa, so as to form of her a model of God's life. So who is the model that we have to possess? Louisa. She is the model of God's life. Together with him, God forms her as the model. That's what God is asking of us. How do you model Louisa? By being in bed and not eating, drinking, or sleeping? No. It's by echoing her words, her prayers. Echoing the prayers of Louisa. That's how we model ourselves. Where is our intellect, memory, and will, the three powers? They have to be the way Louisa lived. Why? It's not for Louisa, because she possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam, and the new Eve. That's why we want to follow Louisa. She's the model. She's the one that God wants us to be like. So, what do we have? We have everything that she's written. 36 volumes. The Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary. She's written everything. As we focus on this book, everything changes for us. And that's why Jesus says, therefore, be attentive. For us, therefore, read, study, put this into practice. And do not let any act escape what does not take possession in my supreme fiat. Do you see what he's saying? Don't let anything escape you. Make this your everything. Make this everything so that the kingdom can be established in you on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he's waiting for. He's not waiting for our parents, and he's not waiting for our children. He's waiting for us to do this. This is what God wants. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. Our Lord loves us very much. He loves us so much that he has given us this gift. He hasn't given it to the saints. He's given us this gift because he expects us to live this. Read this over again. Study what Jesus is telling us about Louisa. It's her gift, and Jesus says, I want to give it to you, if you wish. I want to give you everything that I gave to Louisa, if you want it. He says, I will do it. I will do everything. And that's exactly what Louis de Montfort says. God will do the last saints will be the greatest saints in the history of the church, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.